The season of Advent is a journey that begins with a rough start. Our journey towards the cradle started this year with the people of Isaiah's time feeling lost and distant from their God. As we listened to the dire reading from the prophet Isaiah 3 weeks ago, you might recall that, we contemplated our own sinfulness and acknowledged our desperate need to realign ourselves with the one who not only created us, but who alone is able to save us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And 2 weeks ago, we heard through our brother Nick the assurances of the psalmist that in spite of our sins, the Lord was favorable to the land and forgave the iniquity of the people. We talked about the meaning of home for each of us because we're in this series called Coming Home. And we conclude that home was the place where we meet. Home is where we meet our God. Home is where we meet and welcome one another. Home is where we meet to hear peace spoken. Home is where we know that salvation, refuge, safety is near. Home is the place where steadfast love and faithfulness line up and where righteousness and peace, they kiss each other. Remember? Hesed ve'emet. Do you remember that? This week we have heard from the Apostle Paul writing in his very letter to the Thessalonians, the earliest piece of writing in the New Testament. I encourage you to read it. It's interesting reading. And what is the subject of Paul's letter to the earliest Christian community? You'll recall in the first century there was lots going on, especially with respect to the Roman Empire and then colliding with this underground movement, the church, the gathering of Christ followers. So Paul is writing about joy. Joy in the midst of difficult circumstances, difficult times. Let joy, my brothers and sisters, my friends, let joy in Christ be our home this season. The psalmist writes in Psalm 30, "Sing praises to the Lord, O you faithful ones, his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes in the morning." Weeping may indeed linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. And you know, Al, I was so happy to know that the daylight is going to increase by just a minute every day, because it makes a difference in my life. And it's a reminder that our Lord is present with us, even in the darkness. And as I think about the season of Advent and read from Thessalonians on this fourth week into our journey, I can't help but hear traces of the psalmist in Paul's words for today. Rejoice always. Thank you, Carr, for reading so well. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And that's what we've been doing this morning. And I hope we continue that as we go home, as we're in the car, as we're walking, as we're at work. And I hope you're not at work too long this next week. But here's the lesson in today. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. And Christmas is the culmination of so many prophecies that have come true in the person of Jesus Christ, in his birth and his life mostly, but also in his death and in his resurrection. It is filled with prophecy, and all of them have come true in him. So my brothers and sisters, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil, and that is going to be hard as we are tempted by so many things. When we're feeling raw, we're wanting to kick back or elbow back at whatever's making us raw. For some of us who are actually filled with joy during these seasons, maybe the treacherous road is gluttony, enjoying too much, whether it is food or drink or company. And maybe it's that free time that we sometimes allow our minds to go into different places where it shouldn't. Hold fast, friends, to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the peace of Christ, may the peace and the God of peace himself sanctify you. That means to clean you and set you apart entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not just his coming again, but the season is Advent. We're waiting to celebrate his arrival with us. So who is this one anyways who is arriving? We keep on singing about him and praying to him. And who is it that calls us? Who is this God, this babe in the creche, in the manger? Let me read from Rory Holland's Nativity. Over the years, our family has developed quite a collection of nativity scenes, Holland writes, out of wood, wire, ceramic, even palm leaves, all depicting the same frozen moment of time of just after the birth of Jesus. Around this time, the boxes are brought up from storage, the pieces unwrapped, and then each put in their place on the mantle or on the shelves around our home. What strikes me is the wide range of expressions of that event. The Guatemalan Jesus, decorated in bright colors. The Ugandan Jesus has distinct African features, while the Italian Jesus looks like a very small adult with arms commandingly outstretched. In each case, the reality has been shaped by the perceptions of the artist. We all want Jesus to be a certain way, and oddly, the Bible seems to provide enough latitude for that to be so. Otherwise, how would we end up with such a wide variety of denominations across the spectrum, all claiming to worship the same Jesus? There are a couple of occasions in the stories about Jesus' life where the questions actually comes up. Once after he calmed the waters, his friends asked, "Who is this man?" Or later on, even Jesus asks them, "Who do you say I am?" I love how Frederick Buechner asks and responds to Rory in his piece, Emmanuel. He writes, "Christmas is not just Mr. Pickwick dancing a reel with the old lady at Dingley Dell or Scrooge waking up the next morning a changed man. Christmas is not just that. It's not just the spirit of giving abroad in the land while with a white beard and reindeer. It is not just the most famous birthday of them all, and not just the annual reaffirmation of peace on earth that is often reduced to so that people of many faiths or no faith can then exchange Christmas cards without a qualm. On the contrary, if you do not hear in the message of Christmas something that must strike some as blasphemy and others as sheer fantasy, the chances are you have not heard the message for what it is. Emmanuel is the message in a nutshell. Emmanuel, which is Hebrew for God with us. That's where the problem lies," Buechner writes. "The claim that Christianity makes for Christmas is that at a particular time and place, the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity came to be with us himself. When Quirinius was governor of Syria back in the first century, in a town called Bethlehem, a child was born who, beyond the power of anyone to account for, was the high and lofty one, made low and helpless. The one whom none can look upon and live. He is delivered in a stable under the soft, indifferent gaze of cattle. The Father of all mercies, he puts himself at our mercy. And year after year, the ancient tale of what happened is told raw and preposterous and holy, and year after year, the world in some measure stops to listen, thank God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. A dream as old as time. If it is true, it is the chief of all truths. If it is not true, it is of all truths the one that people would most have be true if they could make it so. Maybe it is that longing to have it be true that is at the bottom of even the whole vast Christmas industry, the tons of cards and presents and fancy food, the plastic figures kneeling on the floodlit lawns. The world speaks of holy things in the only language it knows, which is a worldly language. Emmanuel, God with us. We all must decide for ourselves whether it is true. Certainly, the grounds on which to dismiss it are not hard to find. Christmas is commercialism. It is a pain in the neck. It is sentimentality at its worst. It is wishful thinking, the shepherds, the star, the three wise men, make believe for some. Yet it is never as easy to get rid of as all this makes it sound. To dismiss Christmas is for most of us to dismiss part of ourselves. It is to dismiss one of the most fragile yet enduring visions of our own childhood and of the child that continues to exist in all of us. The sense of mystery and wonderment, the sense that on this one day each year, 2 + 2 adds up not to 4, but to 1,000,000. What keeps the wild hope of Christmas alive year after year in a world notorious for dashing all hopes is the haunting dream that the child who was born that day may yet be born again, even in us. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is indeed the joy of humanity's desiring, as we sing, but as Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians, in this Advent season, as we wait for God to come, as we anticipate his arrival, the waiting may be filled with rough starts. For some of us, the waiting is filled with excitement, jubilation even. And for some, it is a challenge. My friends, nobody said that the journey was going to be easy. It's not easy. Maybe it's for the best that Advent always starts off with a hard dose of reality. But as we enter into the home stretch of the season and we begin our final preparations, some of us are still putting things up and putting things out, taking the turkey out to thaw, or maybe getting ready to pick it up from the butcher. Let us not only celebrate the birth of Christ and his coming again in final glory, but let us also welcome friends and family members and neighbors who are coming home, and keep this in mind, some of whom might not be gathering with good intentions. And while we meet or say hello from across the street, let us not quench the spirit. Let joy in Christ be our home. There are going to be so many reasons to get angry as you go into the shopping mall, as you try to park your car, as people butt in front of you because they have something just small to pay for, and it's okay, right? It is, isn't it? Let joy in Christ be our home, friends. Let it be in a spirit of grace that we acknowledge that for many of us, welcoming guests or going home will never resemble in any way the pictures of perfect familial bliss that we see in holiday commercials, Photoshopped ads, or television specials, or those flaming Christmas movies. Nevertheless, let us enter into this time with rejoicing. Doesn't mean being happy. It means being at peace, knowing that someone loves you and cares for you. Someone loves you so much that he came in flesh to be with us. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. No matter how hard the journey may be, we know that joy in Christ Jesus is our true home. And so, my friends, let me close with this. Let us not just hear the blessing of Paul for the Thessalonians as a nice closing remark, but as a blessing for each one of us. May the God of peace sanctify us entirely. May we be made more and more in the image of Christ, in grace, in peace, in love, and in forgiveness. And may our spirits and our souls and our bodies be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we live into Christmas, as we live life with Emmanuel, God with us, let us live in joy. Let us give thanks. But let us also understand that we are being made more and more like him. finally, let us love God with all we are and all that we have. But let us also love our neighbors, our friends, and our families, even the difficult ones, just as we love ourselves. Thanks be to God. Amen.